Today's StreamGlobe devotional is titled The Power to Become Sons Part 2. Today's meditation was written by Abraham Damilola Arigi. We shall take our Bible reading from Romans chapter 1 verse 4. Romans chapter 1 verse 4 reads, "And declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection from the dead." I have just read from the King James Version. Darrell was filled with joy because he was now walking in his sonship as a child of God. He knew the love of the Father and was now comfortable calling God his dad. He knew the fellowship of the Father and of Jesus, the Son of God. This most beautiful adventure for him began when he started taking holiness seriously. He understood that he already had the nature of God, but in order for him to walk in it, he needed to separate himself from the corruption of the world and cleanse himself of all defilement of flesh and of spirit. The fact that he could walk in the nature of God was his biggest reward and contentment. Even at times when he lost things, his joy did not wane because he knew he did not lose his godliness. From today's Bible verse, we see that even the Lord Jesus was declared to be the Son of God according to the Spirit of holiness. God's promise of being our Father is consequent upon our separation unto Him. 2 Corinthians chapter 6 verses 17 to 18 reads, "Wherefore come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty." Go into today remembering that the way to appropriate your sonship is to embrace the holiness of God and walk in His nature. Today's yearly Bible reading shall be taken from John chapters 1 to 2. This Bible reading plan is continuous. If, for example, you begin with us today, by this time next year, you would have gone through the entire Bible from Genesis to Revelation. The reading comes up next, John chapters 1 to 2.
The Book of John.
In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through Him all things were made. Without Him, nothing was made that has been made. In Him was life, and that life was the light of all people. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify concerning that light, so that through him all might believe. He himself was not the light. He came only as a witness to the light. The true light that gives light to everyone was coming into the world. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision or a husband's will, but born of God. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. John testified concerning him. He cried out, saying,
"This is he of whom I said, 'He who comes after me has surpassed me, because he was before me.'"
Out of his fullness we have all received grace in place of grace already given. For the law was given through Moses. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God, but the one and only Son, who is himself God and is in closest relationship with the Father, has made him known. Now, this was John's testimony when the Jewish leaders in Jerusalem sent priests and Levites to ask him who he was. He did not fail to confess, but confessed freely,
"I am not the Messiah."
They asked him,
"Then who are you?
Are you Elijah?"
He said,
"I am not."
"Are you the prophet?"
He answered,
"No."
Finally, they said,
"Who are you? Give us an answer to take back to those who sent us."
"What do you say about yourself?"
John replied, In the words of Isaiah the prophet,
I am the voice of one calling in the wilderness. Make straight the way for the Lord.
Now the Pharisees who had been sent questioned him.
Why then do you baptize if you are not the Messiah, nor Elijah, nor the prophet?
I baptize with water,
John replied.
But among you stands one you do not know. He is the one who comes after me, the thongs of whose sandals I am not worthy to untie.
This all happened at Bethany, on the other side of the Jordan, where John was baptizing. The next day, John saw Jesus coming toward him and said,
Look, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world. This is the one I meant when I said, A man who comes after me has surpassed me because he was before me. I myself did not know him, but the reason I came baptizing with water was that he might be revealed to Israel.
Then John gave this testimony.
See, I saw the Spirit come down from heaven as a dove and remain on him, and I myself did not know him. But the one who sent me to baptize with water told me.
The man on whom you see the Spirit come down and remain is the one who will baptize with the Holy Spirit.
I have seen and I testify that this is God's chosen one.
The next day, John was there again with two of his disciples. When he saw Jesus passing by, he said,
Look, the Lamb of God.
When the two disciples heard him say this, they followed Jesus. Turning around, Jesus saw them following and asked,
What do you want?
They said,
Rabbi,
which means teacher,
where are you staying? Come,
he replied,
and you will see.
So they went and saw where he was staying, and they spent that day with him. It was about 4 p.m. Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, was one of the two who heard what John had said and who had followed Jesus. The first thing Andrew did was to find his brother Simon and tell him,
We have found the Messiah.
That is, the Christ. And he brought him to Jesus. Jesus looked at him and said,
You are Simon, son of John. You will be called Cephas,
which, when translated, is Peter. The next day, Jesus decided to leave for Galilee. Finding Philip, he said to him,
Follow me.
Philip, like Andrew and Peter, was from the town of Bethsaida. Philip found Nathanael and told him,
We have found the one Moses wrote about in the law, and about whom the prophets also wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph.
Nazareth? Can anything good come from there?
Nathanael asked.
Come and see,
said Philip. When Jesus saw Nathanael approaching, he said of him,
Here truly is an Israelite in whom there is no deceit.
How do you know me?
Nathanael asked. Jesus answered,
I saw you while you were still under the fig tree before Philip called you.
Then Nathanael declared,
Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel.
Jesus said,
You believe because I told you I saw you under the fig tree. You will see greater things than that.
He then added,
Very truly I tell you, you will see heaven open and the angels of God ascending and descending on the Son of Man.
On the third day, a wedding took place at Cana in Galilee. Jesus' mother was there, and Jesus and his disciples had also been invited to the wedding. When the wine was gone, Jesus' mother said to him,
They have no more wine.
Woman, why do you involve me?
Jesus replied,
My hour has not yet come.
His mother said to the servants,
Do whatever he tells you.
Nearby stood 6 stone water jars, the kind used by the Jews for ceremonial washing, each holding from 20 to 30 gallons. Jesus said to the servants,
Fill the jars with water.
So they filled them to the brim. Then he told them,
Now draw some out and take it to the master of the banquet.
They did so, and the master of the banquet tasted the water that had been turned into wine. He did not realize where it had come from, though the servants who had drawn the water knew. Then he called the bridegroom aside and said,
"Everyone brings out the choice wine first, then the cheaper wine after the guests have had too much to drink. But you have saved the best till now."
What Jesus did here in Cana of Galilee was the first of the signs through which he revealed his glory, and his disciples put their faith in him. After this, he went down to Capernaum with his mother and brothers and his disciples. There they stayed for a few days. When it was almost time for the Jewish Passover, Jesus went up to Jerusalem. In the temple courts, he found people selling cattle, sheep, and doves, and others sitting at tables exchanging money. So he made a whip out of cords and drove all from the temple courts, both sheep and cattle. He scattered the coins of the money changers and overturned their tables. And to those who sold doves, he said,
"Get these out of here! Stop turning my father's house into a market!"
His disciples remembered that it is written, "Zeal for your house will consume me." The Jews then responded to him,
"What sign can you show us to prove your authority to do all this?"
Jesus answered them,
"Destroy this temple, and I will raise it again in 3 days."
They replied,
"It has taken 46 years to build this temple, and you are going to raise it in 3 days.
But the temple he had spoken of was his body. After he was raised from the dead, his disciples recalled what he had said. Then they believed the scripture and the words that Jesus had spoken. Now, while he was in Jerusalem at the Passover festival, many people saw the signs he was performing and believed in his name. But Jesus would not entrust himself to them, for he knew all people. He did not need human testimony about them, for he knew what was in them.
You have just listened to Stream Globe Devotional. Kindly share this devotional and let's touch lives together. To learn more about this ministry, get more of our free resources, visit our website at streamglobe.org.
We invite you to tune into our 24/7 internet radio. It is loaded with edifying sermons, music, and other programs. You can listen to Stream Globe Radio at www.streamglobe.org.